I invite you to take your Bible over to the book of Galatians, Galatians chapter 5. We've been talking about the fruit of the Spirit here in Galatians, and it contrasts in chapter 5. Notice verse 19, it says, "Now the works of the flesh are manifest, which are these." And I won't take time to read through all 17 of those things that are listed there as works of the flesh. We've looked at those in previous messages, and some ugly, nasty, but yet very common things. But they are works of the flesh. They are corrupt. They are sinful. But in deep contrast, in refreshing, mind you, in refreshing contrast, God gives us the fruit of the Spirit. And so verse 22, "But the fruit of the Spirit is," what's that first one? Love. Love. And that's what we've been talking about. I'll read the whole passage here. "But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance. Against such there is no law. And they that are Christ's have crucified the flesh with the affections and lusts. If we live in the Spirit, let us also walk in the Spirit." Let us also walk in the Spirit. And so, with God's help this morning, may He help us to understand the Scripture here and to apply it to our lives. The Word of God tells us here the possibility for every Christian. The possibility for every Christian. The fruit of the Spirit is what God produces in a Christian's life, that is, someone who's saved. So before you can have the fruit, you have to be an apple tree, right? I mean, not really, but if you're an apple tree, if you're not an apple tree, you don't bear apples, but if you are an apple tree, you have the potential to bear apples, right? So if you're not a Christian, you can't have the fruit of the Spirit because you're not a Christian, right? You're not saved. But if you're saved, that means you've trusted Jesus to save you from your sin. You have personally called on Him to save your soul. You're depending on Jesus, what He did on the cross of Calvary. And that's a wonderful thing to be saved. It's a wonderful thing to know your sins are forgiven, that Jesus not only died for you, but that you have accepted His payment in your life. You're His child. The Bible talks about salvation as a new birth, being born again. And it's just a new start. It's just a new life in Christ. The Bible says, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. He's a new creature. And so when we trust Christ, God moves in. God moves in. The Holy Spirit of God comes to indwell our body. The Bible says, if we have trusted Christ, that our bodies become the temple of the Holy Ghost. We are the dwelling place of the Holy Spirit of God. So, if the Holy Spirit lives within, we have the potential, as we yield to Him and obey Him and depend on Him, we have the potential for these qualities, these fruit, to come out of our life. Now, someone can be saved and not have the fruit of the Spirit. Why? Because they're walking in the flesh. They're not yielded to God. And so, there's still the anger, the strife, the corruption, you know, that comes out of their life, right? Because if you're walking in the flesh, it looks like flesh. It's corrupt. But if you have trusted Christ and you are yielding your heart to Him and seeking to walk in obedience to the Lord, then this is what God produces in the life of the believer. We notice that here in verse 25. It says, if we live in the Spirit, let us also walk in the Spirit. So in other words, another way of saying that is, if we have been saved, let us walk like who He wants us to be. Let's walk in Christ. And so the fruit of the Spirit, first of all, is love. Love is the first characteristic that flows from God into the life of the Christian who is abiding in Christ. Love is that first characteristic. Last week, we looked at the definition of love, and we saw the three Greek words that define love, and we identified the fact that God's love is the highest form of love, and the Greek word is agape, agape. And this is a self-sacrificing love. This is divine love. This is a love that flows from God and has the quality of God. All right? And so when the Bible says in John 3:16, "For God so loved the world," the word there, the Greek word is agape. "For God so agaped the world that he gave his only begotten son." Because God loved us with a selfless, sacrificial love, he gave his son so that we could be saved. You know, if it weren't for Christ, where would we be? Where would we be? I'll tell you where I'd be. I'd be headed towards a horrible place called hell. Because without Christ, I would be in my sin and I would be facing eternal damnation. But because of Christ, there is therefore now no condemnation to them who are in Christ Jesus. That's a beautiful thing. I'll tell you, it doesn't matter how much else is going wrong in the world. If you know that you're saved and you're right with God, that's rejoicing ground there. That's a time to shout and praise the Lord. But you know what? God doesn't want us just saved. He wants us filled with the Holy Spirit so that the characteristics of love, joy, peace, and all of the rest of them are coming out of our life. So, love. What is this love? Someone defined it as the deliberate effort made with the help of God to never seek anything but the best for others, even if they seek what is worse for us. You see, the kind of love that God's talking about here isn't just a feel-good kind of love. You know, I like somebody, so I love them. Well, no, this love is a choice. A choice that cares about that other person even if they are treating us wrong. It's the kind of love God wants us to have for our enemies. That we would do what's best for them even if they are not doing right to us. As we walk with God, God wants to produce this kind of love in us. I want to notice this love in action. Let's go to the book of Acts, chapter 6 of the book of Acts, and let's see this love in action. I want you to notice a man named Stephen here, and let's notice him in verse 5. Acts chapter 6 and verse 5. The Bible says that the saying pleased the whole multitude, and they chose Stephen, a man full of faith and of the Holy Ghost. And several other men here. These are really some of the first deacons in the church here that in Jerusalem that God chose. All right? And so here's the man Stephen. I want you to focus on this guy. Stephen was a man who was a godly man. He wasn't particularly, you know, a preacher, but he was just in the church there. But he was a godly man, a man full of faith and of the Holy Ghost. And God used him. People were against him. I want you to notice verse 11 here of chapter 6. Verse 11 says, "Then they suborned men, which said, 'We have heard him speak blasphemous words against Moses and against God.' And they stirred up the people and the elders and the scribes and came upon him and caught him and brought him to the council and set up false witnesses, which said, 'This man ceaseth not to speak blasphemous words against this holy place and the law.'" So here's Stephen. He's a godly man. Bible says he's filled with the Holy Ghost. He goes out into the community of Jerusalem and begins to minister to people. He's helping people. Sometimes it's in physical ways. Sometimes it's telling people about Christ. And he is ministering to people. And his ministry is effective. He's helping people and they speak nasty words against him. In fact, they bring him, they catch him, and bring him before the council. This is the religious council of the Jews. They bring him before the council and say, "Hey, this guy is, you know, he's a blasphemer. And they really rail on him. Notice verse 14. It says, "For we have heard him say that this Jesus of Nazareth shall destroy this place and shall change the customs which Moses delivered us." and all that sat in the council. Okay, this is a council room filled with angry people. Stephen, he's been teaching things that are blasphemous. He's been doing wrong, you know, and they're just saying all kinds of nasty things about Stephen. Notice verse 15. And all that sat in the council, looking steadfastly on him, saw his face, read it with me, saw his face as it had been the face of an angel. Wow. Here's a man who has the fruit of the Spirit showing in his life, right? People are mean to him. They're saying false things about him. They've hauled him into the council and they're just maligning him. And instead of him retaliating, instead of him fighting back, they look at him and his face looks angelic. The spirit on his face was not of meanness nor of hatred, but rather of love. And you know what? If we walk with God, there's going to be hard trials will come through. There's going to be hardships. Sometimes people treat us wrong. Sometimes they'll say something mean to us or about us. And how we handle those things. You know what? How we carry ourselves, even on social media, also needs to be of the Spirit, right? If we see anger, frustration, and meanness coming out of us, you know what that tells us? It tells me, I haven't been abiding in the vine. I need to get alone with God. I need to be more regular in His Word. I need to be letting Him fill me. Because if God is leading me, there's going to be the love of God coming out of my life. Kindness to those who are mean to me. A patience with those who are difficult. The story goes on here. They actually stoned Stephen to death. They hauled him outside the town and they threw big rocks at him and they killed him. But you know what? Some of the last words that godly man spoke was recorded here. I want you to notice I'm going forward to chapter 7 and verse 55. But he, speaking of Stephen, but he, being full of the Holy Ghost, looked up steadfastly into heaven and saw the glory of God and Jesus standing on the right hand of God and said, Behold, I see the heavens open and the Son of Man standing on the right hand of God. Then they cried out with a loud voice and stopped their ears and ran upon him with one accord and cast him out of the city and stoned him. And the witnesses laid down their clothes at a young man's feet whose name was Saul. And they stoned Stephen. Notice what it says in verse 59, calling upon God and saying, Lord Jesus, receive my spirit. And he kneeled down and cried with a loud voice, Lay not this sin to their charge. And when he had said this, he fell asleep. Wow. The last words they heard out of that godly man was words of forgiveness. Lord, lay not this sin to the charge of those who are killing me. That's some of the similar words we heard Jesus say when he was being nailed to the cross. Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. You see, God wants his love, first of all, to come into your life. But he wants that love to flow through you to others. And I'll tell you what, everybody has love for those who like them. I mean, you know, if we have a, you know, we like situations, it's like, oh yeah, that's cool. I like to spend time with them, or I care about them because it's comfortable, it's nice. But you know what? This kind of love that God wants to produce us in us is not just a feel-good sensation or a euphoria or, you know, when things are going well. This is the kind of love that's needed in every marriage. Because there's days when marriage is easy, when things are cool. But you know what? When you have two sinners in the same household, you know what? You need the love of God. Right? I know my wife does for me. I can get by a little bit without it because she's so easy to love. We're human, but you know what? We need God's love in everyday life. The Spirit of God filling me, love for my children, love for the neighbor, love for my love for those who've done wrong to me. You know what? God wants us to love people, to care about them. And so the love of God, Stephen exemplified that love. He was filled with the Holy Spirit, and even though mean men were saying untrue things about him and were saying nasty things, they saw his person as a loving example. He loved them even as they threw stones at him to kill him. And so I want you to notice in the book of 1 John chapter 4 and verse 16, the Bible says, "And we have known and believed the love that God hath to us. God is love, and he that dwelleth in love dwelleth in God, and God in him." God is love. You see, the very source of love is God. God is love, the Bible says. And so, let me tell you, you can't have love. You can't have this kind of love without God. That's why we must dwell in God for his love to fill us. For his love. The fruit of the Spirit is not the kind of love the world has, but it's the kind of love that only comes from God. Him filling us. Him loving through us. This kind of love is described in 1 Corinthians 13. The Bible uses the word charity to describe this love in this passage. So notice 1 Corinthians 13. The Bible says, "Though I speak with the tongues or with the language of men and of angels, and have not charity, have not the love, I am become as a sounding brass or a tinkling cymbal." So what God is saying is, I could have an angelic language, you know, I could just have wonderful, flowery, wonderful words, but he says, if our words are not with love, he says, it's like they're empty. They're empty. Notice also now in verse 2, it says, "And though I have the gift of prophecy and understand all mysteries and all knowledge, and though I have all faith so that I could remove mountains and have not charity, I am nothing." All right, so the motivation is weak. You can be a very gifted person, but without this love, your motivation is misguided. It is not productive. Verse 3 says, "And though I bestow all my goods to feed the poor, and though I give my body to be burned and have not charity, it profiteth me nothing." There is little positive impact, very little positive impact without this love. The description of this love is helpful. I want to see the helpfulness of biblical love. In verse 4, it says that charity suffereth long and is kind. Charity suffereth long and is kind. I'll tell you what, this kind of love helps in any situation. When things are difficult, this love suffers long. It endures much. It's patient. It's kind. If you are often exasperated by circumstances or other people, it demonstrates a great need in your life to get alone with the Lord, to yield to Him, and to see God fill you with His Spirit. This love is kind. The former president, Abraham Lincoln, had an early political rival named Edwin Stanton. Edwin Stanton was known to call Lincoln a gorilla. When Lincoln was elected to the presidency, he actually put Stanton in his cabinet. When Lincoln was questioned why he would put his rival in his own cabinet, Lincoln stated, "Stanton is the best man for the job." At Lincoln's funeral, that same Stanton kindly praised Lincoln as the, quote, "the greatest leader the world has ever known." And so from history, we see in this example, rivals and Stanton, who was saying some not so kind things about Lincoln, but actually when Lincoln was elected, he put Stanton in his cabinet and actually as his Secretary of War. But because he said Stanton was the best man for the job. And Lincoln's loving and non-retaliatory spirit won the day and made a friend and won a companion. And so God wants our love to flow through us, and it shows itself in kindness, in long-suffering. The Bible says that charity suffers long. We need this kind of love in our homes. You know, the funny thing is it's easier to be kind to strangers than it is to be kind to those we know the best, right? Is that just me, or has anybody else experienced that? Right? Sometimes those we know the best and those we live with, those we rub shoulders with more often, sometimes there's more of a rub. And, you know, perfect strangers, we're kind, you know, hey, how are you doing kind of thing. We're courteous, and we should be. But sometimes those in our own home, we aren't kind to. And God wants us to abide in Him. He wants us to allow His Spirit to fill our lives. You know what? It's important for us to meditate on the Lord. Meditate on His Word and abide. Because without meditation, without that abiding, that fruit will never come. That fruit will never be in our lives. God wants to love through us. Notice not only that charity suffereth long and is kind, but notice it says in verse 4, charity envieth not. Charity vaunteth not itself, is not puffed up. So we've seen the helpfulness of biblical love, but now notice the humility of biblical love. Biblical love is not jealous. You know, if somebody gets something nicer than you have, or somebody, you know, gets praised, we shouldn't have to be, I did it too. You know, hey, pat me on the back too, you know, or we shouldn't be, oh, they got a bigger one than I did, you know. That's selfishness. That's not this kind of love. This kind of love, when someone at work gets a promotion, you're like, hey, that's great. Hey, I'm happy for you. That's good. We rejoice with those who rejoice, and we weep with those who weep. Biblical love is not selfish. It's not jealous. It's not envious. The Bible says, charity envieth not. I want you to notice also that love does not brag. The Bible says, charity vaunteth not itself. It doesn't brag. It's not wrapped up with self-importance. And notice also, it says, charity is not arrogant, or it says it's not puffed up. That means arrogance. Somebody once said that arrogance is big-headed, but love is big-hearted. And the person who is yielding to the Lord and bearing the true fruit of the Spirit will not be prideful. And so the humility of biblical love. And I want you to notice lastly the holiness of biblical love. The holiness. It says here in verse 5, it says, doth not behave itself unseemly. Doth not behave itself unseemly. Seeketh not her own, is not easily provoked, thinketh no evil, rejoiceth not in iniquity, but rejoiceth in the truth. You see, biblical love is holy. All right? Sometimes, you know, in our world today, people talk about love and, oh, we should just love everybody. And, you know, if you love, it doesn't matter how you live. And, you know, there's no biblical love loves truth. The Bible tells us that it's holy. Notice it says in verse 6, that it behaves not unseemly. That means it does not behave inappropriately. All right? The Christian who is walking in the Spirit will be godly and holy in the way they live their life. The true fruit of the Spirit is holy. It's holy. Love does not behave inappropriately. Love does not seek its own. When you are practicing a Christ-like love, you will constantly be thinking of how you can be a blessing instead of how you can get a blessing. Think about that. Love does not seek its own. Not how can I get a blessing, but rather how can I be a blessing. Love is not easily provoked. That means it's not easily irritated by those who are irritable. Right? True love is patient. Love does not harbor evil. Notice it says it thinketh no evil. It thinketh no evil. Love does not jump to hasty condemning conclusions about others. Love rejoices in the truth. It rejoices in righteous things. And so we see here the description of this kind of love, the description. And you know, what kind of love is in your life? Is it the fair weather kind of love that's there when things are comfortable and when things are in your favor? The kind of love God wants us to have is a love that endures trials. Let me give you just a couple of closing thoughts of how we can display love. I want you to understand that love is displayed by giving our time, first of all. It's displayed by giving our time. You know, there was a teenage girl one time that, as the story goes, was often reading stories to her little brother. And her little brother loved for his sister to read stories. Her sister kind of got tired of it, you know, tired of reading all these stories all the time, same stories many times. And so she got a good idea. She thought, back in the day, she recorded on the tape player. And she recorded herself reading these stories on the tape player, and then she gave it to her little brother and said, here, anytime you want a story, you just put this tape in and push play right there, and you can listen to the story, and I'll read it to you. I'm reading it on the recording. And the little boy thought, well, that's interesting, I'll try. And he tried it a few times, but he came back a few days later and talked with his sister about it, and he said, and she said, well, how do you like it, you know? And he said, I don't like it. He says, the tape recorder doesn't have a lap. Love requires time. Time. Whether that's in our home, time is a precious commodity. When we give time, we give of ourselves. And so giving of our time is an important communication of love. Someone said one time that love is spelt T-I-M-E. We must give our time. Secondly, we need to give our communication. Staying in touch, keeping an appropriate contact is important. Whether that's, you know, spouses when one's away off at work or whatever. Contact, it says something about I'm thinking about you, I care about you. Communication, even when we're together, of really talking through things. Remember when we were, you know, I remember when my wife and I were dating and that kind of thing, getting to know each other. We talked about everything, you know. And the time when we were apart, we always talked about it when we came together and things like that. And sometimes we kind of miss that. We get so busy and don't think about where the other person is, and we start living separate lives. Well, that's not God's design. He wants us to live our lives in good communication with our children. Communicating love is important with the lost, with people in our community. Communication is important. And thirdly, we need to give forgiveness. An important display of love is not only giving your time, giving communication, but thirdly, giving forgiveness. Giving forgiveness. When someone offends you, You know what true love does? True love graciously goes to that person to try to get things right. True love is a peacemaker, tries to work through things to bring about reconciliation. That is the kind of love God has toward us. God wants His love to shine into your life, that it might shine through your life and mine. And so do you have that love? Do you have that love? With eyes closed, heads bowed, eyes closed, consider in your own life. Maybe it is that you're not saved and you don't have the Holy Spirit. If you've never trusted Christ to save your soul, you'll never get that divine love in your life, the fruit of the Spirit of love, without being saved. Today is a wonderful day to trust Christ, to call on the Lord to save you. If you are saved, you still need to abide in the vine that he might fill you with the fruit of the Spirit. Are you abiding? You know, in each of our lives, when we find that there's things that aren't what the fruit is, we know that means we're not abiding as much as we should. We need to allow the Holy Spirit to fill us. We need to yield ourselves to him. Heavenly Father, I just thank you for your love to us. I thank you so much for your word, and I pray that you'd help us to walk with you, and that we would see, even in this week, as we receive the message, as we draw closer to you, Lord, that you would help us to see areas that are not the Spirit-filled life, that are not the love of God flowing through us, but are the old flesh. Lord, help us to see those areas and help us to yield them to you and allow you to fill us with your love. Lord, we thank you for this. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen.